You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Gate Change. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6, turn there, but I'll talk to you about Genesis chapter 3 for a second. So God creates the whole universe. He knows what's going to happen before he does it. And by chapter 3 of Genesis, man's made, put him in a perfect garden, perfect relationship with him, and they screw the whole thing up just within three chapters. It's a mess. So from then on, what have we got? We got everybody who's ever been born with a sin nature. And so you see these cute little babies, go, oh, there's precious, innocent little children, whatever. Right? If they're so innocent, then why are they so mean so quick, so selfish, mine, me? You don't have to teach any child how to lie, right? What is up with that? They take stuff, they lie. You know, why is that? Because we're born with this sin nature. So we all got it. It happens to everybody. And if you're born with a sin nature and you die and that's all you got, you're in big trouble. Unless you get a new nature, the only way to get a new nature is to get another birth. And the new birth, the second birth, gets you a new nature, Christ in you, that's your only hope of glory or any living here or any eternity with him, okay? But in the midst of all this, you know, at an early age, I was made aware from the inside out, God himself spoke to my little heart and said, something's wrong. I made a decision to follow Christ, trust him, and it's been a heck of a ride since then. Not, you know, get Jesus and it's all going to be good. So I got struggles with Jesus. I don't know how the heck you're doing it without him, right? I've talked to a few guys already today, said, how's it going? Man, it's a whooping. One guy said, you know, I feel like I'm making progress, but it's a few steps forward and I fall back. I said, whatever you do, if you fall back, get off your butt and keep moving forward. So part of what's built in, even with a new nature, is you're going to screw up. It's a process. As long as there's progress in the process, be encouraged. You say, but I'm going back to old things. I get that. You've also got massive undertow out there pulling on you. The cares of this world, the Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches. Same thing that happened to Eve. She saw that the fruit was good to eat, pleasant to the eye, you know, make you wise. The world offers all these things. And sometimes we bite. So here's what happens to me. I look around and I say, okay, so what is going on? I'm trying to live the Christian life, but most people aren't. Now, everybody aware of this? You say, well, I live in America, right? Again, with the silent A. I live in America. And so if you're American, you're a Christian, right? No. And for a very long time, at least in this country, and I don't think anywhere like this country around the world, we put those things together, that to be Republican is to be Christian. Or maybe you think to be Democrat is to be Christian. That certain things just go together. You're either a Christian or you're not. Now you say, well, but there used to be a time in the good old days, whatever those were for whoever you are thinking they were good old days. Sometimes people think, well, in the good old days, people weren't screwing around, you know, they weren't getting pregnant, they were waiting until marriage, you know, sex outside of marriage. Let me tell you something, all that mess has been going on forever, you just didn't talk about it, right? And girls that got pregnant, what happened to them? They went to grandma's, they got shipped off to somewhere. Well, where'd she go? I guess she transferred, you know, she transferred. And then came back and then the baby disappeared and maybe you're that adopted baby. So we think, well, it used to be that people were godly people. People were walking with God. There is a difference in living some kind of moral, ethical life and living a godly life. Those are not the same thing. You say, but I have a conscience. You can have a conscience and still end up in hell. So you think, well, I got a conscience. I have believe in ethics, morality. I don't do anything illegal, all the same. Good for you, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Okay, so you have this world that maybe there's a few people attempting that. But I would go as far as to say this. Most people are headed headlong, and we'll read this verse in a minute, towards destruction. Because that's the system. The God of this world, Satan, runs this planet. and he is going to run you right off a cliff if you let him. If you pick that lane, he will take you there and will offer you whatever you got to have to keep you moving in that direction. You say, well, how long has it been this way? So let's go to Genesis chapter 6. By Genesis 3, they're tossed out of the garden, flaming sword to guard the cherubim so they can't get back in and get to the tree of life. So Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. So this women being beautiful, it's been happening for a long time. All the way back to Genesis chapter 3. It's another sermon. Anyhow, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. So, sounds okay so far. Verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Nothing but evil all the time, intents of the heart, evil all the time. You say, well, I'm not that way. Look, I don't want anybody hooking my brain up to a monitor, my heart up to a monitor, even as a believer. Because what I have capacity for, and I think if we went around the room and said, show of hands, what you get clobbered with every day, mean stuff, things you wish on people. Maybe you're not gesturing in traffic. Some people gesture, you know, birds flying all over the place, you know. You say, well, oh, I would never do that. If you're gesturing in your heart, you're gesturing. You calling people names. And then all of a sudden, if it ever occurs to you, like, what in the world am I doing? Why am I feeling this way about this person? I'm jealous of that person. I'm angry at that person. I don't even know these people. So if you just let yourself go and you just let your heart churn inside of you, you're going to end up in some bad places, thinking some bad things, doing some bad things, because that's just what sin, just where it results. So what does God do? The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. I wish I had never done this. So the Lord said, and this is interesting. If you've never seen this, this is interesting. Because what he really said originally is, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I've made them. He wasn't just going to wipe out men. He was going to wipe it all out. And then an astonishing verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if you're a Christian, you can write your name in there, because that's what happened to me. But Richard found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now you say, well, why did he pick Noah? I have no idea. Why did he pick you? You have no idea either. Why did he pick me? I'm glad I got picked. You say, well, does God pick some people and doesn't pick other people? The book talks about that. You say, well, that doesn't sound fair. Let me tell you something. Stop trying to be God. You let God be God, and if he picks you, be picked. You say, what if he doesn't pick me? There's a good chance you're going to get picked because you're worried about getting picked. See, if you don't care about getting picked, you're not interested anyway. So here's part of where our dilemma as believers is. We live in this world. We find grace in the eyes of the Lord. He saves us. And we start living the way we're supposed to live. And the world goes by and says, hey, we're going over here. And you know where they're going because you've been there. Or it wouldn't be such a temptation. And you say, no, I'm good. And you keep moving the direction you're going. Or not. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, this is the genealogy of Noah. And Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So sin left to itself, we left to ourselves will self-destruct. Now, I know this for a fact. If Jesus had not saved me, there's a good chance I would be in prison today. That's just how my brain works. I got all kind of ideas about boosting cars. I mean, I got all kind of stuff, right? I would end up a good chill, but you're a nice guy. Let me tell you something. The world's full of nice looking people who are evil to the core. And me, left to myself, I will self-destruct. I will end up in a bad place. So stop being surprised when people who do not have a relationship with God, I'm not talking about people who are moral, ethical, all that stuff. I'm talking about people who are just headlong living their lives. Stop being surprised that things get so crazy for them. That's where it always ends up. So here we are, we're trying to do the right thing. And the devil says, well, who are you to speak to them? Because you're screwed up too. Stop listening to that. As my friend John over here, get unscrewed and do the right thing. If you're screwed up, get unscrewed up and engage with them. And a good place to start is, look, dude, I know where you're going. I've been there. I've struggled with that life. I still have struggles. But I'm going to tell you, I found something that changes my life. It has changed my life. It can change your life. At least engage in the conversation. Don't claim to be something you're not. Just claim to have who you have and present that to someone else. Matthew chapter 7. So Rebecca and I were flying the other day, got in an airport, and we got there so early, which is so bizarre, so wrong. But anyhow, so early that our flight had not been assigned a gate. Okay, so we don't even have a gate yet. So we go in, and I kind of thought it was going to be gate 21 for whatever reason. I saw something on the board, and I'm so smart and figured it out, right? So I go down towards gate 21, and we sit there waiting. So now you got this thing on your phone, if you opt in for this, if you're on a flight, and it will send you what? A gate change text. Boom. My phone lights up. C4. Get everything? And here we are hauling to C4. Go down to C4, sit down, nobody there because we're so early. Boom! C11. And I'm thinking, this is a game. Somebody is jacking with me, sending me all this. Pick a gate already, right? Now, what do you think I did when I got the C11 text? I ain't going anywhere. I'm staying right here. C4, that's where I'm staying. Because I'm not, you know, they already told me C4. I'm sticking to C4. I'm not walking anymore. Right here's where I'm staying. Now, how smart would that have been? Then I'm screaming at people, I missed my flight. You told me C4. Yeah, but we also told you C11, sir, right after that. You can see it on your phone. I know, but I C4. C4. I'm sticking with my C4. What do you do if you get a text about a gate change? Now, I'm about to read you straight out of the Bible a text about a gate change. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. So what gate are you looking for? A narrow gate. You say, well, I want a wide gate. That's not the text you got. It did not say go to the wide gate. It said go to the narrow gate. Well, that's constricting. That's limiting. I don't like the choice of gate. You didn't get to pick. Go to the narrow gate. That's where you get in. Enter by the narrow gate. Why is that so important? For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And there are many who go in by it. By what? By that wide gate. So you look around and where are most people going? Wide gate, broad way. And I just read you your text message. Narrow gate. So if you look up and you're going through a wide gate that everybody's going through, you're probably at the wrong gate. You're going to miss your flight. You say, but everybody's going that way. What did the text say? Narrow gate. What's that going to mean? It's constricted. It's limited. And as it turns out, who is the gate? Jesus is the gate. This is what people don't like. I want a broad gate. I want everybody included. I want Muhammad, I want Krishna, I want everybody included. I don't leave anybody out. You know what? You don't get to pick that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the gate. Narrow gate. Enter in at the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because, verse 14, why do so many people go in the wide gate, broad way? Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which lead to life, and there are few who find it. So the text came, C11. You know what we did pretty much immediately? We picked it all back up and hiked it down to C11. Why? Because that was our gate. What is your gate? You say, well, I didn't know I picked a gate. If it's a big old wide gate and everybody's going down that way, you're probably at the wrong gate. You say, but so many people. The number of people who do a full thing does not determine whether the full thing is a good thing. It doesn't even make sense. You say, well, 1 billion people believe this thing. Just because 1 billion people believe something doesn't mean that 1 billion people are right about what they believe. What if 1 billion people believe a lie? Oh, you're meddling with people. You know what? I'm trying to help you pick the right gate. Well, I've got a friend who says this. You better have a friend named Jesus in a Bible you're reading to find out what the truth is. Now, I'm not one of these to tell you that if you pick the right gate, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, everything's going to go great, you're not going to have any problems. If you get that text and you go to the right gate, the narrow gate, then what does it say about the way beyond that gate? Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Be one of the few. You say, it's going to be difficult. Let me tell you what's going to be difficult. Destruction is difficult. Eternal destruction is difficult. You say, but they're having fun. They're doing whatever they feel like doing. You follow those people down that broad way to destruction, I'll tell you, sooner or later, you're going to see pain and catastrophic failure because it does not work. Sin never works. Your life and eternal life hinges on the gate you choose. Luke 17. Now, Luke 17 refers back to what I read you about Noah. But a little more detail here. So what happens? Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. What's going on in the world at the time that God is saying, and it took about 100 years for Noah to build this boat, and everybody thought he was a complete idiot. And let me say this parenthetically. If you choose to obey God and do what he told you to do in your life and with your life, there are people who will watch you and say, you are an idiot. You're building a boat. There's no water anywhere near this spot. If God tells you to build a boat, build the stinking boat. What everybody thinks I'm nuts? They're not going to think you're nuts when it starts raining. So you say, well, I picked the right gate. I'm living this life. And everybody thinks I'm crazy because I'm missing out on all the fun. I may not have all your fun between here and heaven, but I'm going to have a whole lot more fun on the other side instead of the road that leads to destruction. Now, Luke 17, 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, by the way, you say, well, what's wrong with that? There is nothing wrong with eating, drinking, marrying wives, giving in marriage. You're just living. The world's just living. The problem is if you're doing all those things and leaving God out, you got a problem. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So people think, it's never going to happen, dude. And the Bible even says, oh, you say the day of the Lord, he's going to return. Like, where is that? It's not happening. Everybody will believe Jesus is coming back when Jesus comes back. And there are no atheists in eternity. Not a single one. Well, I'm going to be an atheist even after I die. Supposedly you don't care about anything after you die, because when you die, you just die. You'll believe in God when you die, because you'll be face to face with him. Ephesians chapter 2. Couple of more passages. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive. So how do you make somebody alive? First thing they got to do is dead. And the Bible says you're dead in your trespasses and sins. So you're as good as dead until you become a Christian. Then he makes you alive. You say, well, I'm already alive. No, you're dead. Spiritually, you're dead until he makes you alive. Well, I'm alive physically, but I'm also alive spiritually now because he made me alive. And he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, right? So this is supposed to be past tense stuff. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. So he's saying, look, he's not saying we're better than anybody else. We used to be these people. Never forget that. You say, well, they shouldn't be doing that. We all were these people. And we'll go right back to trying to live that way, even though we're not those people, because the enemy's trying to pull us out of the life that God intended. Once walked, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were all in the same boat. But God, don't you love those verses? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm telling you, I could not dream up the stuff that God does in being kind to me. Just shows up in personal, specific ways. So you say, well, what are you missing out on? I'm missing out on nothing. I'm going to make heaven, and I have the option to wake up every day of my life and say, Lord, here are my hands, here are my feet. I offer myself a living sacrifice. So this is the day that you have made. I'm going to rejoice, be glad in it, use me. You say, what if you have problems? I'm going to trust him through the problems. What if the problems knock you down? I'm going to pray you're around to help me up, and somebody check on me. Do you ever have bad days? I get hit. What do? Sometimes I get knocked down. What do? I get back up. What are you going to do? I'm going to go to that gate C4. So you say, well, the world's having more fun than I am. They're really not. There is pleasure in sin for a season. Sin is always seasonal. And I promise you, we've all gone back and tasted to see if we're missing something. And we're not missing anything. So I didn't know I was going to share this. But I ended up somewhere the other day, and there was a tequila tasting deal at this hotel. And I thought, what have I been missing? So I went to, and this guy was like a tequila master. I'm like, I didn't know that thing exists. Like, it's a Jedi, tequila Jedi or something. I don't know what that is. So I go to my tequila tasting. I think you could run some model airplanes on it, but I don't think you should be drinking it. I mean, I smelled it. I was like, I just don't get this. You say, oh, but you need to, you know what? I don't need to do anything he doesn't want me doing, you know? Well, the Bible doesn't say you can't drink tequila. The Holy Spirit told me I don't need to be drinking anything. Right? You say, well, he didn't tell me that. Good for you. Obey him.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Now, lest you get very discouraged by Matthew 7, and he says, enter at the straight gate, because broad is the way, wide is the gate, broad is the way, destruction, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and what? Few there be that find it. You say, well, then that sounds like not many people are going to make it. I'm going to make it, right? You going to make it? Pick the wrong gate, you won't make it. You make a gate change, you make it. And here's what it looks like in Revelation chapter 7. This is why I like the end being a part of the book. Revelation 7, verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Multitude that can't be numbered. So not many, it's still a lot. You say, well, if heaven's so great, and it is, and it cost Jesus so much to get us there, and it did, then why aren't we there? Because your work's not done. My job is to be salt, to be light. Your job is to be salt and light. You pick the right gate. The way can be difficult. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow him. It's all suffering in some ways, but there's tremendous joy that goes with it as well. You're not going to be here much longer. None of us got that much sand left in the top of the hourglass. And he could come back any day, or you could be gone any day. So live today. You pick the right gate if you got Jesus. Stay not in the way, but on the way, and help someone else find the way.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.